financial relationships. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm a Mac girl, so these always throw me. So I'm really happy to be here. The Pro-Choice Alliance for Responsible Research is a coalition of activists, reproductive justice advocates, academics, bioethicists, who are looking at emerging biotechnologies from a reproductive justice and abortion rights perspective. So I'm going to talk about some of the legal structures and about regulation. And I just want to step back for a second. Like, why do we even care about regulation, right? We care about regulation because we want to collect data, as we've already heard, that to inform policy. We want to protect the public health and safety. As a side note, I would say that is why so many abortion regulations are disturbing, because they are not intended to protect health and safety. We want to have monitoring and enforcement to improve public health outcomes, and we want to hold accountable those who violate those standards. So I'm going to talk a little bit about federal and state regulation of the fertility industry, payment for egg providers, and insurance coverage. Just to start with the bigger picture, that ARTs, I'm going to talk just about the United States. ARTs in the United States are, as Deborah Spahr said, big business, a $3 billion business. From the latest data from the CDC, thank you, there are over 456, actually that's my typo, 86 fertility clinics in the U.S. who are reporting to the CDC. I think that represents about 94% of them. There are an unknown number of egg brokers and agencies. They are the absolute hidden piece of this system. And just from the latest data, there were 157,000 procedures, 50%, interestingly enough, focused in only these six states. And as Cindy was mentioning, there are outcomes that that we need to be working on. 43% of these births that were tracked were multiple births. The vast majority were twins. I think 41% were twins, but also more than twins. That is compared to only 3.4% of the general population. 30% were low birth weight, compared to only 8% of the general population. And even though we know that African American women in particular have high rates of low birth weight babies, those were only 13.6%. So this is double even that. And 34.9% were preterm births, compared to only 11.6 in the general population. Oh, what did I do? I'm going the wrong way. Oh, I'm sorry. I told you I'm a Mac girl. So I'm like looking at the wrong button. So what do we do here? I was really glad to see Lee go over the different kinds of surveillance systems we have. We have a federal law called the Fertility Clinic Success Rate and Certification Act. That's my emphasis added, because it really only looks at success, and success is live births. The data is collected through SART, the Professional Organization of Clinics, and the focus is numbers of procedures, types of eggs. So did a woman use her own eggs, or did she use eggs provided by somebody else? Were they fresh eggs, or were they frozen eggs? And some of the health outcomes, as already heard, for the women who give birth, and some tracking of health outcomes for the babies that were born. We also have the Clinical Laboratories Improvement Act, CLIA, which establishes quality standards and oversight for laboratories, for testing, procedures, safety, accuracy, and oversees over 250,000 laboratories in the United States. And we have a wonderful new initiative out of the CDC called SMART, which is called the States Monitoring Assisted Reproductive Technology Collaborative. And that is a voluntary system. But what they're trying to do is link state health data that the states collect from birth certificates and other monitoring systems with the CDC ART data to try to start to see more of the picture in terms of maternal health, child health outcomes, et cetera. It's voluntary, and so far Lee has to get to work because there's only four states. In state laws, fertility is regulated the way other medical practices are regulated. It's just that simple. Doctors, you know, are accountable, have to be licensed. Other practitioners have to be licensed. There are medical boards, nursing boards. There are laboratory licensing. There are tissue banks. And in a few states, there's actually insurance, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But this person, this invisible, faceless person, is the woman who provides eggs for many of these fertility, for many of these 2,227,625 cycles. And she's invisible. As Cindy was already pointing out, none of these laws require monitoring of her, collecting data on her. In fact, in the federal regulation, the patient is the person, the woman giving birth. The same thing in states. There's no state that requires clinics to report health outcomes or other data on the women who are recruited to provide eggs for others. So even though we have some research, fortunately, on the use on ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, the drugs that are used, there's absolutely no tracking of what happens to these women who are selling their eggs. The ASRM, the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, has guidelines. They say that there should be no compensation above $5,000 unless there's a justification, in which case you can go to $10,000, but that above $10,000 is beyond what is appropriate. Compensation should not be based on a donor's ethnic or other traits, although we just saw the ads that Cindy put up there. And, you know, we're talking about SATs, athletic abilities. Sex selection is only sanctioned for sex-linked diseases, like hemophilia, for example. Donors must be over 21. The risk should be revealed at the same time as the compensation. And they should implant no more than two embryos at a time as a way of trying to deal with issues related to multiple births. Well, you can see this ad pretty much violates every single one of those. And so does this one. So the Center for Genetics and Society did a study based on the CDC data and found that 80% of the clinics reporting violated the guideline of implanting no more than two embryos. The Hastings Center did an analysis of ads and found that 34% violated the ASRM guidelines on trait selection, 41% violated the guidelines against egg providers under 21, 56% violated the guideline of revealing the risks. And this one is really important because there's also research on women who provide eggs that by the time they get to the informed consent, it's a medical procedure, they have to, you know, get to the clinic finally and sign, that at that point in time, they are more likely to disregard the risks, even when they are revealed. And it makes sense, right? Because they've already been offered $20,000, or $10,000, or even within the guidelines, $5,000. They've made the commitment, they've showed up at the clinic, and at this point, the risks are just, they don't think about them. There is an interesting lawsuit brought by members of We Are Egg Donors. It's called Kamakoski and ASR versus ASRM, arguing that ASRM is price fixing and that there's a lot of, remember Deborah Spahr's $3 billion industry, that there's a lot of money in fertility treatments and clinics and that the women who are providing eggs are not sharing in that. And part of what they're trying to do is make all of these practices more transparent. Egg brokers and agencies, we just don't know. It's that simple. They're all over the web. There's no oversight, there's no licensing, there's no professional requirements. These very nice people, I'm sure they're very nice people, are very committed. They're all the staff at a big egg and surrogacy agency in Los Angeles. They claim to be one of the largest in the country. And not one of these is a medical professional. They have expertise in marketing. Some of them have some background in social work. And they run a really big agency. Perfect Match is another one where a couple had a really positive experience with IVF and they wanted other couples to have that experience, and so they started a big egg agency. There's no oversight at all. And in fact, there's a nonprofit called Parents Via Egg Donation, and I can quote their founder saying, "Anyone can hang a shingle outside their door and open an egg donation agency. In fact, it's harder to open a food cart on the streets of Portland or any other major city for that matter than it is to open an egg agency." So I have a few minutes. I just want to talk about insurance coverage. 13 states in the United States require some form of insurance coverage. It ranges from covering drugs to counseling, and in some states it covers IVF or limited amount of IVF. Medicaid, unfortunately, explicitly allows states to exclude fertility treatments from their Medicaid programs, and pretty much all of them do. But what would insurance do for us, right? We would have increased regulation and accountability. We would have affordability. One of the things we know from the National Survey of Family Growth, that there's higher use of fertility treatments, higher educated, more higher income, older, white, people who can afford it. And we could improve health outcomes, but also enforce the single embryo transfer. And then there are questions, though, that we have to, big question to ask. Who would be able to get these services? You know, most of the insurance coverage is tied to infertility, a definition of infertility that requires heterosexual sex, unprotected for X number of 1 year, 2 years to prove you are infertile. But what does that mean for family formation? What does that mean for single women or single men or same-sex couples who are not infertile by any definition of infertility? So what happens to them? Some of the state laws require people to be married. Now, I wonder if they would recognize a same-sex marriage. Now, that would be good. States have age limits. So how would we make decisions about what would insurance look like? But I think it's something important to be thinking about. And then I just for 1 second want to talk about eggs for research. There used to be, New York State is the first state that actually legalized payment for eggs for research. And if you remember the ASR guidelines that say only up to $5,000 unless justification, I'm not sure what the $10,000 justification is. So right on its face, it violates the ASRM guidelines. There are three states have laws that do not allow payment, only what is called direct expenses, that's lost wages, transportation, child care, if you provide your eggs, and most states just say absolutely nothing. So I'm going to give a shout out to my partners at the Pro-Choice Alliance. Please visit our website, and we'd like to hear more from you.